Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to you regular listeners. I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for coming back day after day and downloading each day. It's such a joy to look on my little podcast dashboard and see the places from where people are downloading. I wish I knew who all of you were, but the Lord doesn't have it that way for us now. I know who a handful of you are, but just know that I continue to pray for all of you, new listeners, regular listeners, on a daily basis, that God would just draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word. And welcome anew, to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please stick around with us for a bit, and let's see what the Lord has for all of us today. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it, and know that I love to hear from you. I love to hear what God's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him each day. Well, our verse for the day for April the 22nd, 2024 comes from the book of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 22, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. Oh, friends, there is so much here. There's so much depth here, and I'm excited for us to park here, see what Jesus was talking about in context, and see how we can understand more of this for our own lives. You know, we have been in the Gospels. Let's see, we were in Mark's Gospel about 8 days ago. We were in Matthew's Gospel, let's see, it looks like 3 days ago. And you will recall that those begin the New Testament. There are four Gospels that open up the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell us the good news, the Gospel of Jesus's time here on earth. And it is good news. It is good news that God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to the earth to walk on this earth, fully God yet fully man. He lived a completely sinless life. He was ridiculed and tortured, even though He came to save all of those who did those terrible things to Him. And He walked on this earth a sinless life, and then He went to the cross willingly. He died. He was placed in a tomb, but He was resurrected on that third day. He was seen by many, and then He ascended back to heaven, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming back again one day, friends. He did all of that for you and for me and for all of those who are in the world. And He did that to pay the penalty that each of us sinners, and we are all sinners. There's no one without sin. He was the only one without sin. But that He did this for us to pay that penalty that each of us owed to a holy God. And He could do that because He was sinless. And He died willingly on that cross for you and for me. And that gospel, these gospels tell the good news of that. And they tell how much God loved us, that He would send us His Son. They tell us how much Jesus loved us, that He was obedient to death on the cross. And they tell the good news of that resurrection. You know, if it wasn't for the resurrection, really none of this would matter. We would have no hope. We would have nothing to look forward to. We would have nothing to help us get through the difficult times. But we do have hope. We do have something to look forward to. Friends, there's an eternity for everyone, whether they believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or not. there is an eternity, and we're going to spend eternity either in heaven with the Lord Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, accepted that gift that He has so graciously offered, or we will spend it in eternity in hell separated from Him, where the Scripture says there's torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth and utter darkness. And friends, I want to be where the light is. I want to be where there's joy and life and comfort and peace. And so I pray that you do too. But these Gospels tell us that. After the Gospel, the four Gospels, we see the book of Acts, which is that book of early church history. Then it moves into Paul's letters, then into the general letters, which are letters written by men who were not Paul, and then to that, oh gracious, I can't get my words out this morning, then to that New Testament book of prophecy, which is the book of Revelation. But we are in Mark's Gospel today, and he and Luke, of the four Gospel writers, two of them were not in that original apostle group with the other apostles. So Mark and Luke were not in that group. It is thought that Mark was writing much of what he heard the apostle Peter teach. Matthew and John were in that original apostle group. They saw Jesus's miracles in person. They saw him in person. They saw how he interacted with large crowds and with individuals. They saw him be crucified. They saw him after he was resurrected, and they saw him ascend back to heaven. Mark and Luke did not, but they heard it from those who did. And it's thought, as I mentioned, that Mark was a very close traveling companion with the Apostle Peter. And Peter even describes him as Mark, my son, in one of his letters. And we read about in Acts, I believe it's somewhere in Acts chapter 12, where when Peter, one of the times that he was released from prison, he went to the home of Mark's mother. And perhaps that's where he first met Mark. Perhaps he met him before then. But later we know that Mark worked very closely with the Apostle Peter. Part of that is from historical records that we have in the first century. And Mark's Gospel is the shortest of the four Gospels that we have. It moves along at a very fast rate. He does not have anything about Jesus's the events surrounding Jesus's birth at the beginning. He jumps right in, telling about John the Baptist, and then straight into Jesus's ministry. And so he has just very concise telling of the things that happened surrounding Jesus's ministry. And I'm thankful for that. Each of the four Gospels, God used different men to write these. There's different writing styles. They're thought to have originally been intended for certain audiences, like Matthew's Gospel seemed to be geared toward the Jews, his fellow Jews. He worked so hard to try to get them to see that Jesus was this long-awaited Messiah, the one they'd been looking for. Luke was the only Gentile writer that we have in the Gospels or in the New Testament, as far as we know. And he very much was writing to fellow Gentiles and so wanted them to be able to tell that Jesus came for everyone. John's Gospel is thought to, it's been described as a spiritual gospel. And of course, all of these are for all of us. We can learn so much from all of these. And we know that all Scripture is breathed out by God. And all Scripture is profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. So John's Gospel, though, has been described as that spiritual gospel. It talks about love and faith and belief and it was thought to have been, I may have said this already, written much later. It's thought that John knew about the original three Gospels when he wrote his. Mark's is thought to have been written primarily to a Roman audience based on some of the ways that he explains things, some of the ways that he talks about time and places and Jewish customs. It's like he's describing these to those who may have not have been familiar with Jewish customs. And so that's just some of the differences that we see. And so I'm excited for us to park here today and see what we can learn. Now, just a few days ago, we were in this same section in Mark, and we talked about that parable of the sower. Jesus taught in parables often. We only see the parables mentioned in Matthew's, Mark's, and Luke's Gospels, but we don't see those in John. And Jesus talked about those and explained that for those who would have the ears, for those who would believe, they would be able to understand these. And it's only because God allows that through the power of His Holy Spirit. But some wouldn't understand. Some would refuse to believe. And the Lord Jesus had just taught on this parable of the sower, and we talked about that, as I mentioned, just a few days ago. But it was where the sower went out to sow the seed, and we talked about how the seed was the word, and it fell in different types of ground, sometimes on the path that where it was just snatched away right away, sometimes in the rocky places where it had no root. Sometimes it would be sown and people would receive it as they should, but then the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and all these things would grow up like thorns and choke it out. And then sometimes it would be on good soil, and that soil would produce in that, I should say, that seed sown in that good soil would produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. And it's right after this that Jesus goes into this section about a light being brought into a house. So listen to this in verse 21, right before our verse for the day. He says, "And he was saying to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be put on the lampstand? And here's our verse. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light." And right after our verse, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, beware what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and to whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. All right, so let's back up and see what Jesus was talking about. What could he have been referring to, and how can we apply this, what he was saying to them, to our lives and understand this truth and that? So when we look at this section or the verse just right before our verse for the day, it's Jesus has changed to the next subject. You know, he had just explained, as we mentioned, this parable of the sower to his disciples and those who could hear and understand. And then he said, he asked this question, is a lamp, which was their light, and that lamp was thought to be, you know, a little container of oil that they would have in their home, and sometimes they would put it up on a stand, like on a shelf, or sometimes it, I read in the people who had more money, they'd put it on an ornate stand. But he says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or a bed? In other words, do you put a light? Do you cover it up? It's like that children's Bible school song that we learned, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel or a basket? No, I'm going to let it shine. And so that's what this refers to. It says, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or a bed? Or under a bed, is it not to be put up on a light stand? So is the light not to be able to shine and give light? And then our verse, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, to help us understand, because there are two concepts that very much go with this that Jesus talks about here. It's recorded in different places when he has said that. One, it seems when we look, and we'll hop over to the place in Luke 8 here in just a few minutes, or maybe a couple of minutes, where there's a very similar account, is that the story, the truth of God's kingdom, the truth of the word, the truth of the things of God, the truth of who Jesus is and what God has done, that great mystery of salvation, that gospel is going to be fully seen, fully understood. And we see that both then, when the disciples were encouraged to shine their light, to tell the good news of the gospel, to spread it to everyone who would listen. And also in Paul's letters, where he talks about how the things that have been made known to him, he's been a steward of this mystery, a minister of this mystery of the gospel that was hidden for ages, but now has been understood. Peter even talked about that, that salvation was for everyone, and it was through Jesus, and Jesus is that Messiah. And so that is one thing that we see. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. That is one of those kingdom principles of God. You know, we talked about, I mentioned a few days ago, the things of God that you can count on, and that is God is always true. He's faithful. He's a covenant-keeping God. What He says He will do, His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our ways. What are thoughts? What you reap, you will sow. That is a kingdom principle. And this is another kingdom principle. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. There is a time that all things will become evident. Now, was Jesus talking about here to his disciples to share the truth, the good news of the gospel? I think yes. I do think that's part of it. Doesn't matter what I think, but as I've studied this, it seems that that's part of it. Another part of it is those secret things, those secret sins, those secret ways that people think no one else sees, God sees. And at some point, we will be called to judgment. We'll be called to account for those things. And so I think it's a twofold meaning. But that is in that matches with what we see in the remainder of Scripture. God knows, God sees. We read where Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And oh, friends, am I thankful for God's grace and His mercy, and that we can ask for forgiveness, because I think about careless words that I've spoken. And that's why it's so important to ask the Lord to guard our mouth. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And it is so important for us to be intentional, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And so those things are oh so important. But I think that's part of that, that, you know, the things that we do, the things that we say, we are going to be held accountable for. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who has made a way for us, who has paid the penalty for our sin. Now, does that mean we need to keep on sinning? No. Do we keep sinning so that His grace will abound? By no means, we read in Romans chapter 6. How can we keep sinning? You know, because He saved us. But for those things, we can ask for forgiveness, though, and repent and ask for His help. And He's faithful to do that. But I think He also means here, you know, the truth of who He is, the truth of His gospel, the truth of His redeeming work, His salvation is going to be made manifest to everyone. And so if you hop over to Luke chapter 8, we see that very similar thing, I believe, in 8:16, where He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." So it makes you think, you know, this truth of the gospel, this truth of the goodness of God, this truth that salvation is for everyone. That's the great mystery. It's being revealed, and it's because Jesus is there. "For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. But why I think that it could have also been, there's two meanings of this, is because when Jesus was warning about the leaven of the Pharisees, and talked and is encouraged that hypocrisy is what that leaven was that spread would spread throughout everywhere, where the Pharisees would say one thing and act like they were all pious and in good standing with God, but then they really weren't. And he's saying those things are going to come to light. And it's the same for all of us, not just the Pharisees, because all of us are sinners. But praise be to God that Jesus is our advocate, that Jesus has covered us who are believers in him with his righteousness, and that we can ask for forgiveness. But I think it's just a very important kingdom principle. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. And, you know, that makes me think as we close also of what we see in Philippians and what we see in Revelation. There is going to be a day, what the world is going to see when the church is snatched away. There is going to be a day when every knee will bow. Every knee, with every person, whether they have confessed Jesus or not, is going to bow. Everyone is going to know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords on that day when the Lord decides it's time for everyone to know it. And I'm just so, so thankful that he has given us his word, that he's given us the gospel, that he's given us this truth, that he's drawn us to him so that we could know him, so that we could believe. It's all by his grace. It's all by his mercy. But I want to just close with this part in Philippians chapter 2, which talks about just what Jesus has done for us and about that day that's coming when everyone is going to see that truth is going to be manifest. The blinded eyes of those who chose not to believe will see, as will those of us who have believed. Our faith will become sight, but those who have rejected him, who have refused him, who have said there is no way, they're going to have to come to grips with that. And so, it's just so important for us to realize that nothing is hidden except to be revealed. So it will be revealed, both the goodness of God and the majesty of him and his son. And nothing has been in secret but that it would come to light. This is all going to come to light one day, and those who have refused will see. So listen to this. Therefore, in Philippians 2:9, God also highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's going to happen, friends. And so let us begin giving him glory now. Let us be the light that Jesus called us to be and not hide this good news that we have. Let us share it with those that we come in contact with for his glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.